Hello and welcome to For Fox's Sake, recorded on the day of the Championship Trophy Parade, Bank Holiday weekend in the sunshine. Enjoy the highlights. And welcome to For Fox's Sake. My name is Pete Selby, and alongside me is Rob Hayes, fresh from the parade, Rob. The parade of champions, because Leicester are champions of the championship for a record. What, eighth time, is it, Rob?
Yeah, out-and-out record now. We've been treated to winning quite a lot of trophies in our time as Leicester City fans, but especially it was interesting today being there 10 years on from the last championship win. Obviously 8 years on from the Premier League win, and now that was a parade. That quarter of a million people in Victoria Park, that will never be topped. But yeah, I really enjoyed today in the sunshine with one of my best mates and tens of thousands of other people dressed in blue and just just out for a good time on the bank holiday weekend. It was nice to be there.
Yeah, we haven't done a podcast in a couple of weeks. We said that on the last podcast exactly why I've been away. I've been in Cyprus watching the games from afar, and we've got the job done. I wasn't there today. We had birthday stuff and this, that and the other. So, yeah, brilliant day today. Brilliant day yesterday, obviously, with the trophy lift and then the previous games. It was interesting, actually, Rob, because I'm just sitting looking at the table and looking at those teams just below the playoffs, etc., and then looking at those teams in the playoff and thinking about Norwich and West Brom and obviously the big two, Southampton and Leeds, but we don't have that, and we've won the championship overall by a point, but obviously it was safer than that going into the last day of the season, and I'm losing at home against Blackburn. Well done to Blackburn for then staying up in the league, and quite remarkable really that they've got the championship top scorer by a long way. More on him in a bit, actually. And yet they just survived. It shows you how poor the rest of the side have been. But they did a number on Leicester, but there's a million and 12 excuses as to why Leicester probably didn't perform against Blackburn. But then you look at the two previous games, then the game away at Preston, which I think will go down in folklore. I think it will be a night of, were you there? Were you in that away end? Because that away end was something special. Any club who have just won the league, any club who are going to an away game where if you win, or I think in the end it was just a point, wasn't it? Then we would win the league. It's going to be a raucous away end. But that was different. That was something else. And there were so many comments from non-Leicester fans going, that is what an away end. What an away end. So that really was something special. And then the game before that was the five against Southampton. And you could easily say the performance probably of the season. When we look back at the when we look back at the Championship campaign. And by the way, this podcast will be purely about winning the league. We will be doing a podcast in the next few days, midway part of next week, etc., where we'll go through the season, we'll go through our Leicester City squad, and we'll give ratings for each player and what we think they'll do, whether they'll remain, whether they need to stay or go or whatever. That's all to come. That's in a few days' time. And by the way, if you are listening to this, get in contact with the podcast. This is an early shout on the podcast. Early shout. We want your views. We want your views about each player. We want your ratings out of 10. We want your player of the season. We want your signing of the season. And we want your moment of the season. Those three things. Get in contact for Fox8Podcast@gmail.com via email. You can get in contact with us via Twitter or X now at FFSPod. And also on Facebook as well. Just type in for Fox 8 Podcast and you can find us there. Get in contact. Tell us who you think was Leicester's best player this season, your player, and why. Your player of the season. The signing of the season, I think, is important as well. It can be the same. And then, obviously, the moment of the season and what you think going forward. This podcast right now is about celebrating, about Leicester winning the league, and that's all to come in the next few days and weeks to come. So stand by for those. But for now, Rob, we're going to be talking about these three games. Now, let's just turn back to that Southampton game. I mean, what a performance. A stunning performance. It was Enzo Ball that worked perfectly. Again, we'll come on to Enzo Maresca, who I think is in a fascinating position, and there's been so much talk about Enzo since we've won the league, even in the last couple of days, about the future, etc. That's all to come, but for now, it was just scintillating, wasn't it? It was absolutely fantastic on a day where, if you weren't at the ground, if you were like me and you were abroad, you're watching it in a bar. I'll just quickly tell the story. We went to the bar, so it was 10 o'clock kickoff in the evening, and there's a bar around the corner that was showing football, the only one for a good few miles, because we were out of the way, really, because it wasn't that kind of holiday. So anyway, I dragged Kim along, and we went, and we missed the first like 10 minutes, and there's three big screens in this bar, and they're all showing the Arsenal-Chelsea game, and there's all Arsenal fans in there. Anyway, I walk up to the counter, and I said to the chap, excuse me, can you put the football on, please, like this? And he's like, the football is on. And I'm like, no, the big game, the proper game, come on. Leicester versus Southampton, tell him it's on Sky. Anyway, he then opens a cupboard up. He's got about six Sky boxes in there, and he basically gets a metal dog food bowl, places it over one of them, and the picture goes on one of the TVs, and then plugs the other one in, and basically Sky appears. Don't know how, don't want to know. And a number of Arsenal fans turn around, hey, what's going on here? So hang on, lads, you've got your two TVs. I says, explain to them, look, I'm a Leicester fan, we win this game, we, you know. And anyway, of course, 1-0, 1-1, you know, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, all the way through. And both games ended 5-0. Quite remarkable, really. But yeah, so a really entertaining night watching it abroad. But in the ground and watching it at home, what were you thinking, Robert? It was just a great display. Again, yes, Southampton didn't really turn up, and we gave them the big build-up, especially me, and they've gone away and won at Leeds. And I think probably are the favourites now. After that win on the last day of the season at Leeds, they surely are the favourites for the playoffs. But that was pretty devastating, really, overall, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it reminded me a little bit of the victory over them earlier on in the season as well, where it was early doors and Russell Martin hadn't been there very long, and we properly picked them off. And I think we said in the podcast straight after, I said, they are trying to play the same way that we are, and we just did it a lot better. And I think that's pretty much the case in this victory late on in the season. Yes, Southampton have been on a great run throughout. They scored an absolute hatful of goals. They're a little bit more gung-ho in terms of their style than Leicester. But ultimately, their idea is to get hold of the ball for as much as possible, for as long as possible, create plenty of chances. That is the Enzo Maresca philosophy. But it proved that our system works our system works better when the opponents are playing higher up the pitch. And Southampton, of course, they would come to the King Power and want to play and want to do what they've done all season to pretty much every other team. But we were so smart, so clever, and extended the length of the passes when necessary to sort of bypass any kind of press that they thought they could get anywhere near. And I was delighted for Fatawu as well, because, you know, he's clearly got bags of talent, but he's still very, very raw. So to come away with a hat trick on a night where your side have won 5-0 against a team that up until a few games ago were genuine contenders for an automatic promotion spot. Really, really very pleasing, very enjoyable to watch. And I think that, you know, you were kind of, in previous podcasts a few weeks ago, we were like, oh my goodness me, are we even going to get there? And if we do, are we going to limp over the line? Turns out we absolutely were not going to limp over the line. We were going to stride over the line confidently.
Yeah, he was awesome, wasn't he? And it was the calmness. And when he controls himself, when he not thinks about things, he's a better player than that, isn't he, Fatawu? And we would have been very critical of him, and just so in recent games and recent weeks, really. But it's when he cuts in, and then on his left foot, that bending around the goalkeeper into, it's when he does it calmly, when he thinks about things and deliberately places it with his very natural power that he has. He's a very powerful player, young lad, really. And he's that's when he controls his shots. That's when he gets the ball on target or just misses. It's when he starts to just hack at the ball and try and kick it as hard as he can. And that's when it smashes high over the top of the crossbar. He needs to just control himself. And my God, again, Southampton, he ripped them to shreds. And then because of results going our way, left, right and centre, Leeds losing and Ipswich drawing, etc. And it meant that we strode up to Preston. And just looking at Preston's record, they ultimately finished 10 points outside of the playoff places, but lost their last five games. They really have dropped off a cliff, but they were awful. Now, granted, Leicester, you know, they controlled the game and they had that amazing backing, you know, in the away end. But Preston were god-awful, weren't they? They were really tragic. If you were a home fan watching that, you're like, wow, you know, and we're playing top of the league, etc., going for it. And it was really the easiest game in the world, but it was all about the away end. The songs, I mean, the song sheets, my God, they went through everything. Even a Sven song I heard at one point, but they went through them all. It really was amazing. And of course, those scenes when you win the league and the players celebrating, and that's what will remain this at the end of this season, going into next season, over the summer. It's the scenes that we saw at Preston in the away end and on the pitch. It's the scenes we saw lifting the trophy against Blackburn, and obviously the parade that you're at today. So Preston, I think we can really skip over the game itself, but just those scenes at the end, it was fantastic. And every single club that gets promoted are going to have fantastic scenes. Every club who wins a league will have fantastic scenes up and down the divisions. I don't want to turn around and go, oh, Leicester's different, Leicester's separate. You know, it's better than all those. But I think there was just something else, weren't there? Each player has their own story, obviously. But I don't know. I was watching that, yes, with my blue tinted glasses on, but there was just something different with those fans in the away end, with the players on the pitch. It just looked spectacular.
It did, and it embodies everything that we love about this football club. And it's things that a lot of people that aren't Leicester fans do notice. And I think Preston was a sort of big, in-your-face, this-is-what-we-represent kind of moment. And the players that have come this season that have really bought into that, you know, you talk specifically about players like Connor Cody and Harry Winks, who have been at some big clubs, played in some big games, been in England squads. I mean, Winks has played Champions League final, for goodness sake. And for him to say that how much he loves this club, how this season's been the best season of his career, Connor Cody talking about Leicester being a family, you know, this doesn't happen by accident. This is something that has, for the most part, existed throughout the majority of the time that you and I have been fortunate enough to follow Leicester City. But I think everything's been knitted together even more closely since the King Power takeover. And I think since the tragedy as well, really, because it just means a lot to everybody that in the city. And it always has done, because it's a one club city, and football's a big, big part of that. Even though rugby is also a huge part of that. So it's a very, very strong sporting city. But I just think that everything was together, and you could see that in those celebrations. They weren't forced. There were very few players there that were going through some kind of motion of putting the fists in the air and celebrating and G-ing up the crowd. You know, the one or two maybe who've been on the periphery this season or just aren't those kind of people. But, you know, all the backroom staff, the players, how many people are in front of the stand there towards at the end of the game? 40-odd people, 50-odd people. And it means a lot to every single one of them. And you could see that. There was nothing, wasn't anything where the management have said, oh, make sure you go over and thank the fans. They were there. They wouldn't go in. They stayed for ages and ages and ages. And 5,700 odd fans going up to Preston on a Monday night is phenomenal. Because I was close to sort of seeing if I could get myself a ticket, and then a couple of things appeared in my diary at work that I really couldn't shift, and I was like, oh, that's annoying. But you know, I'll watch it on TV and it'll be fine. And I watched it on TV and I thought I should have been there. I should have got a ticket and made something work for getting out of whatever I had to do at work, and I should have been in the midst of that, because watching it on TV was great still. And my mate Jack, who I've been to a few games with this season, he was there and he was putting some videos in the group chat that you and I are in, Pete, and you could just see what it was all like. But just to experience that, it's a very rare occasion. And one other thing I'll say to finish this little part is that I wasn't 100% sure what the celebrations would look and feel like when we won the league, because there's a danger, and I'm pleased it's not happened, but there is a danger of Leicester as a club, including the supporters, the players, everything, being a little bit sort of snobby almost towards the Championship, being a little bit elitist, kind of being like, oh, well, we're only dipping down for a season and we're going back to the Premier League now. And everybody's using the phrase, oh, back where we belong, blah, 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 blah. And yes, I agree with that. And I think that's used in the right context. But the genuine joy on the players' faces to win the league, and the amount of fans that turned out to see the lifting of the trophy today or at the King Power Stadium yesterday, just proves that this is genuine joy at winning the championship. Now, that you could have been forgiven for not for sort of celebrating it and going, oh yeah, look, this is great, we won the championship, but not really giving it the full beans, because it's so soon after winning the Premier League and the FA Cup, two of the biggest, most famous competitions in the entire world. But this felt special today, and I think it's almost put a period of our recent history not behind us, but it's almost like here we go. This is the new look. This is how we look going forward. We celebrate that. There's obviously an awful lot of work to do in the summer, and that will come on a future podcast that we'll talk about. But it just felt like everybody absolutely loved winning the championship, and ultimately it was the goal of the season, and it's been achieved. But I think it's been celebrated wholeheartedly.
There's a terrible phrase that you know, celebration police, and I've said for a long time, and everyone I think would agree that you would not want to support anyone else but Leicester. Of course, we're all Leicester fans, but also I really feel sorry for those who support clubs in the Premier League like Tottenham, because I'm not just singling them out, but the big clubs who rarely win anything, because. And even those really big clubs who do win a lot, I don't know, because unless you win, you know, the Premier League or the Champions League, sometimes like cup wins can feel a bit hollow, and it's mad. You've got celebration police being used against certain clubs, and now I get it. I understand what they're talking about. And in certain terms, I can agree. If you're going for a Premier League title and you've not had a Premier League win in your locker recently, and you go massively over the top with 10 games to go because you've had an important win, celebrate the win. But I get what the likes of Gary Neville talk about. I understand it. But then there are some times when, an awful lot of times when people, you know, take the mickey out of a club celebrating a win. And we've always said on this podcast, all the way through the Premier League era at Leicester, that you should celebrate every single win, even if you've beaten top bottom of the league at home 2-0 in a regulation win and we're sitting sixth. It doesn't matter. Leicester winning the game in the Premier League is still important. And when you drop down a division and you win and you start winning, and I know we've had slight difficulties with the system and all that, which we'll come on to, but winning the league doesn't get boring. It doesn't get tiresome. Winning games is fantastic, and I think you just appreciate it more when you're the club the size of Leicester and when you're Leicester fans. And even though you've celebrated an FA Cup and Premier League win recently, it's been a fantastic season, and the players have celebrated as well, and they've enjoyed it as much. And you mentioned a few players there, the likes of Winks, etc., and Cody, and it just shows you, like, winning games and winning a division is absolutely huge in players' career, and it won't happen to many players that they win championships, let alone a couple in a few of those that we've mentioned, obviously the likes of Vardy, etc. And so that's why even getting relegated, it's not the end of the earth. You know, if you're an Everton fan, you know, you look at what happened here and you go, well, there you go. You can have an amazing season and celebrate it. And I've loved the fact that the players have gone hard in the celebration. They really have gone hard because, A, they deserve it. But also, again, it's football. You're meant to enjoy it. You're meant to celebrate. You've just won a division. Fantastic. And then next season you've got all that to look forward to, and of course you get the people who go, well, it's gonna be difficult next year straight away, and I'm like, yes it will be. Shall we have that conversation? Hence the reason we're doing this podcast now, and then in a few days or a week's time we'll do looking at next year. We're not looking at next year at the moment, we're celebrating. And I'd have loved the way that they've celebrated. I've loved that away end at Preston, and I've loved watching the players really, really go hard and celebrate, so much so that they got turned over by Blackburn at home on the last day of the season. Now, if you remember, Rob, and also, I mean, you can look at what we've won in the last 10 years. It's ridiculous. What, two championships, an FA Cup and a Premier League? Thank you very much. Apart from all the European campaigns, what a 10 years. What a decade. But coming on to the final day of the season, the trophy lift is what everyone wanted to see. And Vardy getting the trophy, along with Ricardo and then Mark Albrighton as well being called out to lift, couldn't really get any better than that. And it just looked fantastic. It looked tremendous to see the likes of Okazaki there as well. Top really enjoying himself as well with the players, both at Preston and on the parade, and also against Blackburn as well, really being at the front and centre. That's what we want to see. Again, we'll talk about the finance going forward again in a different podcast, but great to see Top there. Makes a lot of difference. What you were saying about Leicester being a family club, everyone says they're a family club. But when you've got the owner being not a madman and looking after players, maybe too much sometimes, but still, and being at the front and centre in a very unassuming and a charming way, everything like Vichai was, Top as a young man, which he is because he's the same age as me, is doing, and that's great to see. Vardy, I mean, have you ever seen someone celebrate on the field as much with a medal around his neck and on the parade? I mean, I know all the eyes are on him. The TIFO was amazing as well. Tip of the cap to Union NFS. Brilliant TIFO. You know, blue smoke rising from the cop with the display behind. Absolutely fantastic. Fingers crossed he does sign. And again, we'll come on to that. But again, it was all about the celebration. The trophy lift was great. And a little, I don't know what it is, but there's a slight part of me which always gets a bit nervous when it comes to trophy lifts with Leicester, because, you know, don't do anything stupid. No one ruin it. No one do something really weird where you go, oh God, that's how it was. We all know how Wes Morgan lifted the trophy, the Premier League trophy, with Claudio on the end of it, holding one side. It was great. I remember the FA Cup. I can see them now lift the FA Cup. Casper there as well. I can see that in my mind. And I can see this championship being lifted as well. I also can see the championship prior, and also League One as well with Oakley. I can see them. You just don't want anything weird to happen. And it didn't. I don't know why I get nervous about that, but watching the trophy lift, it was perfect. And then the weather, the celebrations, absolutely fantastic. But also, well played to Blackburn, because they did a right number on Leicester, even though Leicester have been on the pop ever since the game against Preston. And if you remember when we got promoted before, it was Brighton who came to town and did a right number on Leicester, the immediate game after Leicester getting promoted away at Bolton, wasn't it? And they came to town, and it was Leo Ojoa who did a right number on Leicester. Of course, Leicester signed him in the summer. I wonder whether history will repeat itself.
That's talk for another podcast, surely, but I know exactly what you're alluding to there. Yeah, the Blackburn result didn't matter. I mean, that's the fact of it. I was in town, actually, yesterday during the game, so I didn't see it. It was my dad's retirement do, so we were on a bit of a pub crawl, and we started in the Globe, and there's no tellies in the Globe, so I was just getting the updates on my phone every now and again. 1-0 Blackburn, 2-0 Blackburn, game over, and nobody that I was with really cared. I'll tell you what, most of the fans from the King Power didn't care, because that afternoon town got very, very busy and everybody was in very good spirits. Again, another lovely day of weather. I know we don't do a Leicester City podcast to talk about the weather, but the weather this weekend to enjoy the celebrations in has been bloody brilliant. I've spent a lot of my weekend outside a pub somewhere doing some kind of celebrating about my dad retiring or Leicester winning the championship. I've had a tremendous weekend, and that is mainly due to the fact that it didn't rain. Imagine, you're not going to want to stand out. I mean, they were extremely late for the parade today. I'd have been a little bit miserable stood in the rain, to be honest, championship trophy lift or not. And the same for yesterday. I don't think you'd have got anywhere near as many people piling into town, even though it was a lunchtime kickoff. Or if you did, there'd be a sort of like damp and a bit sort of, not miserable, but a bit quieter in the pubs. But town was absolutely buzzing, and that is what the football has done. And you know, some people say, "Oh, these celebrations for the players. Maybe they've gone a bit too hard." But look, they're getting paid a lot of money to kick a ball about. Is basically how a lot of people would look at it, and that's the truth. But it's their job, right? And they've had a new manager come in. So you think about what happens in your workplace if a new manager comes in. You're never totally sure what's going to happen. They've always got new ideas. They might like some of the old ones. They might not. They might like some of your colleagues, and they might not. And everything changes. And it needed to at Leicester. Of course it did. But then you've had to graft there's 46 league games, obviously, and winning the championship was the objective. And then you add in the cup games as well. And you add in every single training session, fitness session, recovery session, tactics meeting. Every inch of effort that they've put in for a long, long season, why would you not feel this elated when you've won it? Of course you would. You have achieved everything that you set out to, but they've not achieved it just by having arguably one of the best championship squads on paper. It never works like that. Football does not work like that. They've achieved it through getting behind the manager, who you've got to give a lot of credit to, because at times he's been infuriatingly stubborn with the way that he wants to play, but he's delivered what he promised to deliver. And you know, he's never sort of listened to any outside noise. He's just gone, this is what we're doing. We believe in it. We're working on it. We're working on it day in, day out, and this is it. So the players deserve to enjoy the success that their hard work has put in. And I found it quite funny, actually, that having seen what he was like at the parade today, that Vardy wasn't round Enzo's house for the first party. And he was watching it at home with his son, and I'm sure he probably had a couple of cheeky Vimtos or whatever beverage is his preferred these days. But you know, it's not quite the same as all round to Vardy's for a party. But I found that interesting. By the way, if we're moving on to talk about the parade now, can I tell you that he got his daughter to swear on the microphone today, which was absolutely hilarious. Everybody around me was absolutely creasing with laughter because it all went silent, and we're kind of like, I mean, I'll have a very, very, very small whinge about the production value of the parade in a moment, but it all went a bit silent, and you just say, hang on, Vardy's got the microphone here in front of tens of thousands of people. He's a proper loose cannon when he wants to be. This could go anywhere. And then he's like, I think she's called Olivia. He said, Olivia, tell them rock, paper, scissors. And I won't repeat what she said because, you know, it's a family podcast. We don't swear on this podcast. In case you've got
you
it
can
on.
Easily find it.
Yeah, but she went, rock, paper, scissors, F off. And everybody was just like, that is so unexpected. And Vardy was like, she's just like me. I was like, you know what? This is just some proper rogue lad from Sheffield who turns out to be extremely good at football. You can't tell me, Pete, you would not have absolutely despised Jamie Vardy if he played for anybody else and behaved like this. But he's ours and we absolutely love him for it.
Yeah, I'm really interested in your talk about the production values, and it's a little bit nerdy, but like, what you mentioned about obviously going around Enzo's house, and we all know what happened when we won the Premier League, and the scenes of Wes Morgan being dragged along the floor and everything. Fantastic scenes, but also the fact that when they got promoted, they all go around the manager's house, which is just absolutely bonkers. You wouldn't believe that would be the case, but I've been trying to figure out before we've done this podcast whether it's a, I don't know, whether I think it's a good thing or not. I mean, whether it's a good thing or not has got no to do with what I think at all, but when it first happened, I was like, oh, that's really good. And then I was kind of like, hang on, that's really strange. It's a really strange thing for the players to do. But now I've actually come around to the side of, actually, I think the way that Enzo's put out his team and made them play, essentially, to have this, if it was a bit too chummy-chummy, you know, maybe even a former player or I know he's really new to the management game, but, you know, someone who's literally finished playing the year before, etc., you might kind of half question it, question his authority. But I've come around to it being actually a really good thing. And when we look back on this promotion in years to come, it will be one of those things that you do remember. Oh, yeah, remember, well, the players actually did go around the manager's house. What an interesting move. But anyway, back to this parade then, Rob, with the production values. Bearing in mind, I do know Brad, the announcer.
Oh, absolutely nothing on Brad. I think he was great as usual. He was just he was put in a difficult situation a couple of times. Apologies to anybody who may be listening to this thinking, what on earth is he whinging about? Let me just. I'll start by saying I've had a lovely day. It's been great. Me and one of my best mates in the sunshine watching Leicester lift the trophy. Tens of thousands of people. Brilliant. Atmosphere was great. Everything. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But those of you that have been listening for a long time know that Pete and I, well, Pete still does, but we both used to work in sports events, and I've done quite a number of different roles in sports events, some of them on the microphone, in front of the camera, behind the microphone, on a commentary, whatever. But more so later on in my career in sports events, I was more involved in what we call show calling, which is essentially directing a live event or parts of it. So I'm not just having a little whinge here. I'd like to think that I know a bit about what I'm doing. And there were a few times where it just looked like it had been cobbled together last minute. And I know it had, because you can't... It wasn't confirmed until fairly recently. But also, at the same time, if you're expecting to win the championship and you're pretty, pretty close to doing it, the plans will have been in the pipeline a lot longer ago than when they were announced. My main issue is I don't think the pre stuff before the players came up on the balcony, I don't think there was quite enough thought gone into that. Everybody was having a good time because it was sunny, plenty of people had beers, people were talking to people around, you know, sharing things about this season, it had been great, whatever, yeah, out with the families and friends. You know, people were always bound to have a good time. They were there for a positive reason, but I don't think the enough thought had gone into things like the playlist, things like fan engagement, that kind of thing. And then the players came late. I don't know whose fault that is, but that meant that everything was a bit delayed. Fine, these things happen. You're on an open top bus or several through town, but there were a couple of times when Brad would sort of say, right, now we're going to have a massive rendition of When You're Smiling. Everybody ready? And everyone's like, yeah, I'm ready. And then 5, 10, 15 seconds of absolutely nothing. And then he has to come back on the microphone and go, oh, sorry, we've not got the right version of When You're Smiling. I was like, hang on, you're joking. You play this at the start of every single match in the King Power Stadium. He's just done a link to say we're about to have a massive 10, 20,000, I don't know how many people were there, sing-along. He's given it the big guns. He's done everything he can do. And then somebody's saying, no, sorry, not got that one. How have you not got it? And then later on, and this is like a couple of minutes later, they decided, right, what do we do here? Bung the microphone to Keane and Drewsby Hall and get him to start singing Wonderwall. And then they started playing Wonderwall fairly quietly underneath Drewsby Hall and completely out of time with him when he was doing a brilliant job on his own. He doesn't need the music. And then they must have found When You're Smiling, because blaring through the speakers was Drewsby Hall singing his own song, Wonderwall, and When You're Smiling, all in one horrendous mishmash of ear-bleeding noise. That's my only gripe. Because, look, Drewsby Hall doing a cappella, singing his own song, I couldn't have been happier for the lad. He's a Leicestershire lad through and through, supported the club, been there since he was a kid. Standing on that balcony, conducting his own song, having won the championship, he must have been absolutely buzzing. And I stood there with my mate and looked up at him and said, he will be feeling as great about this as we would if we were stood there having done that. That's how you sort of feel a connection with a player like Drewsby Hall. just let him do it. And then through the speakers, two different songs. I didn't like it. I didn't like that little bit. But you know what? Maybe it's because I hadn't had a beer.
No, I mean, it's a few other things to point out for that I found interesting. I like the straight back up logo and design. And when I was mentioning about Celebration, by the way, go and get your T-shirts and wear them all summer. And if anyone, and they will do in the next 24 hours, go, yeah, but we've moved on. It's next season. You're going to be struggling. Are you going to start at -6? Don't worry. We're not talking about that. We're talking about getting straight back up. So, yeah, get your straight back up T-shirts. The photos, by the way, I know the weather helped, but there's some brilliant photos. Go on the Leicester City website and check out, or online, but on social media. But if you go to the official Leicester City website, you go on the photos, some amazing photos of the parade and the trophy lift, some really, really good photos that will live long in the memory and be adorned the King Power Stadium for decades, really. You know, fantastic photos. And again, top, front and centre of those. Really, really good. So I really like those. Obviously, with Vardy front and centre of pretty much everything. Yeah, it's just been done so well. It's been done so well, in my opinion. And we will come on to what happens next season. Just a little hint about that. Just to finish this podcast, Rob, because, again, we've got an awful lot to talk about. We're going to go through every single player. The likes of Kelechi Iheanacho wearing a T-shirt. What was it saying? History. We made history together or something, or we won't, along those lines. Basically, he's going, but it was a nod to say, you know, we've had a lot of history together, etc. And then Mark Albrighton, brilliant to see him marching around the pitch with the championship trophy and with the, you know, his medal and the ovation he was given by the fans, etc. Couldn't have been better. Couldn't have been better. Given the armband by Vardy when he came on, couldn't have been better. So, yeah, he will go. What was it? 99.9% he said he is. So, and he will be, obviously. So that was done very, very well as well. So we'll come on the next podcast, the one out of 10 score for every single player. We want yours. If you want to go for every single player, list them all down and send them to us, brilliant. If you want to just give us a few indications, maybe a few of the 10 out of 10s, if there are any, then do so. And we'll be talking about every player, what we think they'll happen and what we want to happen as well, our opinion. Tell us who you want to stay, who you want to go, who you reluctantly think will go, even though you probably want them to stay, and who you want to come in, etc. That's all to come on future podcasts, Rob. But just a word about Sami Smodic from Blackburn, because it's a remarkable story, really. It's an amazing season. And for a guy who in September, I believe, will turn 29, you've got a player who surely will be on the radar of many clubs in the Premier League. A guy who I believe has got 2 years left on his deal, who at his age, and if a Premier League club comes in for him, will be surely wanting to go anywhere, who can play, obviously, straight down the middle, but can play out wide and as an advanced eight as well. A lot of his career has been in those positions. The way he plays his football, the pace he has, obviously, the tenacity, the fact that he celebrated before he put the ball in the back of the net. So, you know, I'm not being funny, but you, with Vardy being hailed at one end of the pitch, you've got a guy here who you look at in the championship, he's got a lot of Vardy about him. And even though we know he scored the goals, the way he played on Saturday, head and shoulders above anyone else in a Blackburn shirt, and also probably in a Leicester shirt on that day. But there's a player where you look at and go, for a few million quid, he's got the attitude, it seems. He's at the end of his 20s. He's obviously had a career that's gone majority at low-level football, at the likes of Colchester and Peterborough. But for this season, it's just clicked in a way where I think a side like Leicester would be absolutely bonkers to not seriously consider a player who surely would cost, A, less than £10 million. But also, his pace, the way he can score goals, but also it's his attitude. Yeah, I could seriously see him in a Leicester shirt. And that's not a reaction. That's not a player who's just scored a couple of goals and gone, oh, he looks good, we've just got promoted, we'll have him. But for me, there's an awful lot to like about this lad. And yeah, many echoes of possibly a Leo Ajoa turning up at the King Power, scoring a few, and then ends up wearing a blue shirt on the first day of the next season.
Couldn't just let us have a nice podcast talking about winning the league, could you? You have to have to give a little dabble into what's coming up next. Yeah, no, I agree, though. He's had a good season. There'll be a lot of different targets to look at. It all comes down to lots of different factors. And Enzo said himself he needs the right support this summer to build a squad that's gonna compete in the Premier League, and is probably going to be competing in the Premier League at a deficit of possibly 6 points, something like that. So, yeah, be interesting, because, you know, there are going to be a few transfers that are going to need to have a chance taken on them, but we're going to be a bit short of strikers, I think, because Iheanacho will be gone, Dakar will be gone. I'd be, you know, happy to add Smodic in there, and he could, like you say, play in the number eight role as well, because I think that's going to be a key position for us to recruit in this summer.
Yeah, I think so as well. So that's all to discuss. So get your viewpoints in. But for now, Leicester are champions. 97 points from the 46 games. 131, drawn only 4, and lost 11. 89 goals scored, 41 against. So it turns out we had the best defensive record in the league, and we scored 89 goals, just pipped by free scoring Ipswich, which I think is probably right, really, with 92. Plus 48, the goal difference, won by a point, but really, obviously, it was secured before that with those three wins on the bounce. Leicester City will be playing Premier League football next season. Now, the celebration will continue, and it will continue all summer, and I implore everyone to do so. But I think this postseason, I think the gap between literally as we're talking right now and the start of next season will arguably be the busiest, the most interesting, because it could go very badly on a number of fronts. It could go towards us. It could be fine. You know, we could not get points. Let's not beat around the bush. We could have points taken off us. We could not have points taken off us. We could end up selling our player of the season, official player of the season, in Dewsbury Hall before the end of June, for Christ's sake. I mean, you know, these things can happen. We might sign players who we never thought we could sign during the postseason. We could sign players who we've never even heard of, and I think that will be the case. I think, and if you ask me right now, whether the manager's going to be there, I think it's 50-50 whether he's going to be there at the start of next season. All this to discuss on the next podcast. There's an awful lot that's going to happen at Leicester between now and the start of the next season. It always happens at Leicester. But for now, we are celebrating as champions. Rob, you've been there today. You've seen them on the parade. I'll leave you with the final word. As Leicester are champions of the championship for a record 8th time, something to be very, very proud of, by the way, that record. If you mention that to anyone and they like chuckle or laugh, you just go, hang on, think about it. We've won the championship, the second division, if you want, 8 times, just one more now than Manchester City. We are the best team in that division in history, in theory. That is a really proud record to have as a football club, I believe. So celebrate it. I'm going to celebrate it. But in the next 7 to 10 days, you're going to get at least one podcast, maybe even a double header, with all the thoughts for next season. We want to know your thoughts. Again, for fox8podcast@gmail.com, tell us your player of the season and why. Tell us your signing of the season, because I think that's an interesting question. Signing of the season. And also, want to know your moment of the season. It can be the most important moment, a real, just an individual moment that you saw and you go, hang on, that was important. And also your thoughts about next season, etc. For fox8podcast@gmail.com or at FFSpod, or if you want to follow us on Facebook, do so and then send us a message on there. There's plenty of ways of getting in touch with For Fox 8 Rob that we have seen as a podcast than win another league. We've been there for these last 10 years, these three league titles, two Championship, one Premier League and the FA Cup, and all of the European campaigns as well. And we'll be there next season in the Premier League, won't we? How was today? Final thoughts on this championship win then, Rob. I'll leave it with yourself.
All I've got to say, history makers, record breakers, straight back up Leicester City. Champions!